Our first scripture reading is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 50th chapter. We begin reading at verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my heart back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the letter of James, the third chapter. And we begin reading at verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, well, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, set on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed. And has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 14. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed, and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered to them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him. Never enter him again. After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. The boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your epistle lesson for today. Reading from James chapter 3. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. This is our text. Don't take things so personally. I'm sure you've heard that said sometime or another. Maybe somebody said it to you or you said it to somebody else. It is true that sometimes we take offense when no offense was really intended. You know, one of the things we do as human beings is we read between the lines of what people are saying. And sometimes when we're reading between those lines, we insert things that aren't in the brain of that person at all. And yeah, we all of a sudden get offended. We take it personally. And they weren't trying to insult us at all. Sometimes we are just too thin-skinned. We get offended when we ought not to be. But if that is true about our sinful human nature, it is also true that there are times when we ought to take things personally, but we don't. And in a sense, that is what James is talking about in our text for today. And in particular, in these times that we are living, it seems that the cruelty of speech in the media, and even people talking to one another, but of course, we don't talk to one another as we used to. We say things in emails and in text. I know this has happened. That sometimes things we say as we're texting and we're emailing if we're actually standing face to face with the person to whom we are directing those things, we'd never say them to their face. They're things we should take personally or understand how it is going to personally affect others when we say it. And we don't consider that. And we go ahead and we spew the venom. Or we listen to the venom being spewed and say nothing. Sometimes even worse, we laugh about it. You know, as the number of COVID cases are rising, you watch late night television, for instance, some of the jokes that you hear about people who haven't gotten vaccinated yet, what we ought to do to them. If you've heard some of those jokes, raise your hand. I wonder if they'd be saying the same thing if it was a dear parent, grandparent, aunt or uncle who didn't get vaccinated and is seriously ill and needs help. If they'd be saying those things to that relative who may die. But it's not just, you know, in that area of our life. The political discourse these days, the cruel things that are said by one party or the other. And then there's what goes on in the grade schools and the junior highs and the high schools. Boy, you want to hear about cruelty and meanness? And often hidden behind texts and emails, the human tongue can sometimes be like an all-consuming fire. We focus on the faults of others, but in some ways we're blind to the fact that we are really no different. I like the way James starts out this section talking about the human tongue. It begins with, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways." No, maybe the latest craze in people that are worthy of insulting doesn't exactly fit us. But we all have sinned. And if you would ask God what we deserve for it, his answer under the law is, well, you should go to hell. That's the way it is. Thanks be, there's another word of God that speaks to us. Because when it comes to our relationship with him, God takes it very personally. He loves the world. Even though by nature of our sin we're his enemies, he remembers that we were created in his image. He talks about us not as just being his creatures, but his children. And he is our father. He takes it very personally when we're cruel and mean in our words and our actions. I'd like you to try something once, at least. The next time you hear somebody being cruel in their speech, or cruel in their texts, or cruel in their emails, or whatever means they're communicating, I want you to say this. Wait a second. I know you don't like what that person is doing, and maybe I agree with you, but did you know that my brother died to save that person's life. And even if they don't mean something to you, they mean something to me because of that. You all know the brother that I'm talking about? What a friend we have in Jesus, who is, in Scripture, is not just called our friend, but our brother. He became like us. Though he was God, he took on a human flesh to become one with his creation. And when he went to the cross, he didn't die just for people that we like. He died for the whole world. And yes, there are millions who will never take advantage of that. Millions who, even though God himself calls them his child, will never address him as Father and never acknowledge what his Son has done to help them. Sadly, that's true. But even an earthly child, if it runs away from home and forgets about its parents, I would say by almost all parents, still remembered and loved. How much more God, our Heavenly Father. When we insult people made in his likeness, where we wish evil or harm on people he calls his child, he takes it personally. So should we. Those people being joked about on television, they're your brother by virtue of Christ. Our sister, our mother, our father, because we are all one family. People made in the image and likeness of God, the Heavenly Father, who sent his Son to save all, even if all are not saved. We live in a world which is becoming increasingly cruel. And one of the things God would have us do as a witness to him and his love for all people is to start taking it personally and explain to others why we are taking it so personally. And really, I encourage you to try it out sometime, maybe with somebody who doesn't go to church. Just say, do you know my brother died to save that person? So even if I don't agree with what they're doing, that person means something to me. Don't say what you just said. Now, you all got it, okay? As it was coming out of my mouth the first time. It'd be interesting to see how many people have no clue as to what you're talking about. Well, I didn't know you had a brother. When did he die? There's your chance. Because they're asking you. Tell them who your brother is. And if you do that, you're not going to change the world. But you might change a few hearts in it. Let us remember who we are. Created in the image of God, redeemed by our brother, our friend, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.